Let's take our Bibles this morning as we turn to one of the best parts of our time in church is the Word of God and dwelling on that. And so let's go to the Gospel of Luke, if you would. Luke and chapter 24. Luke 24. I am thankful for those who tuned in online as well. Even this morning, we're thankful for that, for those we're missing. We're going to talk this morning about continuing in the light of the risen Christ. That is what we want to walk in. And the Lord Jesus had some very important words that he shared with his disciples, even in his resurrected body, before he ascended back to heaven. And we want to look at some of those words this morning. And so we're going to begin our reading here in Luke 24 and verse 36. The Bible says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit." This is the evening of that first resurrection day. And Jesus has appeared to some of the women in the morning. He appeared to Cleopas on the road, and another disciple on the road to Emmaus. He's appeared to Simon Peter. But this is the first occasion that he's going to appear to the gathering of the disciples. And so very exciting and actually very terrifying at the same time. The disciples were in many ways already on high alert and already afraid and frazzled from the events that had taken place over the last days. And they were gathering secretly, gathering behind closed doors, locked doors. But Jesus, in his resurrection body, had no problem getting in. No problem joining them. And that's what happens with those closed doors. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ being visible in your midst? Now, I know that Jesus is here. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst of them. And Jesus is here. Jesus came to this meeting this morning. I am thankful for that. He is here. He is within us as well. The Spirit of God dwells in every believer. But we're talking about a very visible to the human eye, a visible appearance of the risen Christ coming there. And the people, the disciples here, were terrified and affrighted, supposing that they had seen a ghost, essentially. All right? And so, verse 38, we'll continue reading. "And he said unto them," that's Jesus, he says, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." These disciples knew Jesus. Okay? They walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They heard him speak many a time. They ate many a meal with him. They walked many a road with him. They knew Jesus. They knew what it was to be in his presence. And here he is. After that gory and very traumatic death, here he is, the risen Christ. And he says, "Yeah, it's really me. Here I am, I myself. Look at me." And he extended to them his hands, showing the scars of those nails. And his feet he showed as well. Verse 40, "And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb, And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for these accurate, faithful accounts 2,000 years ago of the risen Christ. The plain declaration by the Spirit of God showing us the truth of Jesus. Lord, thank you for the faithful record of his very words that he spoke that we would like to look at today. The words that he gave to his disciples and to us at those special times as the risen Christ. Lord, I thank you for this. I pray you'd bless our time. I pray that you'd encourage each of our hearts together. In Jesus' name, amen. Continue in the light of the risen Christ. Oh, my friend, we must keep the resurrection of Jesus in the forefront of our lives daily. We saw last week how the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. We saw how it validates the gospel. We saw how it secures victory for us as believers. We saw how the resurrection of Jesus gives real meaning to life. How meaningless life is without eternity in view, without Jesus as your Savior. It's just the here and now, but with Jesus, life has such depth, meaning, and importance. And fourthly, last week, we saw how it assures our future. It assures our future. Today, we want to continue in the light of the risen Christ. And we want to look at some of the words Jesus spoke to his disciples there on these special times they had together with the risen Savior. We've looked at this account here in Luke, of a good portion of it. And first of all, I want to draw your attention to verse 41. Verse 41. The Bible says, And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? The Bible says, They believed him not for joy, and wondered. At this time, there was so much emotion going on. There was so much. They were running on empty in their physical tank. They didn't know whether to be filled with joy or to be completely distraught. I mean, they had been completely laid out with all of the events that had happened in just the last couple days, the last 3-4 days. And so here we see that they were struggling to believe. I mean, it was so fantastic that at the first it was hard to even grasp a hold of what was happening before them. Even though Jesus is standing before them and says, Yeah, it's really me. It's really me. I mean, look at me. Come handle me. It is really me. It's I myself. I am Jesus. I'm the one that was crucified on the cross 3 days ago. Yes. It is me. And he asks for something to eat. I don't know if he was hungry, but it certainly gave more depth to, yes, I'm really here, and I'm going to eat this fish and this honey right before you.
And verse 44, I want you to notice what Jesus says. Verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you. In other words, before all of these events, before my crucifixion, all of these things, what was I telling you? I was telling you that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. I noticed one thing that is just a side note, but Jesus believed the Bible. Now, at this time, all they had was the Old Testament. They didn't have these New Testament books of which we're even reading from right now. These records had not yet been penned. The Lord Jesus was speaking of the Old Testament, and he references the first five books of the Bible when he says the law of Moses. Now, from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, from that very time, there was a prophecy given right when the curse was given upon this world and mankind because of sin. There was also given the hope of the Savior in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I'm sure that that's one scripture that Jesus is referencing here. And he took time to explain the scriptures to them, all the things through the law of Moses. So much we could go into detail about the giving of the prescription of the Passover lamb and all of these things, the Day of Atonement, the blood that would be shed, all these things pointed towards Jesus. And Jesus points that out, that all things needed to be fulfilled. Everything in the scripture is going to be fulfilled. Now we stand here today, friends, with a whole lot of scripture having been fulfilled, but also a whole lot of scripture that has not yet been fulfilled. There is a whole host of the Bible that is still future. It is not yet fulfilled. There is much prophecy that is yet waiting for the time of fulfillment. And so we can know with assurance that they will happen. It will be fulfilled. Just like Jesus said the things about him, about his death, would be fulfilled, the things yet future will be fulfilled. My friend, God is working out his plans in this world. And even though we live in such a dark time, even though we have numerous blessings at this very time, the freedom of our assembly right here this morning. This is a freedom many generations and many people even this day do not enjoy. They have not had. They have under threat or have gone underground as far as, you know, not out in open in the public being able to meet to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, for countless days, countless weeks, countless years, have had so much freedom. We have had so much opportunity to live for Jesus and to obey his commands without threat. But I'll tell you what, Jesus says here, he says everything needed to be fulfilled, middle of verse 44, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he explained that it was important. This is what had to happen for the scriptures to be fulfilled. As we continue in the light of the risen Christ, first of all this morning, I want you to understand that we need to continue in faith. Continue in faith. Very important that we have faith. We notice the disciples struggling here with this matter of faith. They struggled to believe. And you know, there's one disciple in particular that wasn't in this gathering on that first day, that first Sunday, that first resurrection, and his name was Thomas. Thomas was not there. And the Gospel of John records this situation, and I invite you to turn over there to John 20. John 20. We'll pick up the reading here in verse 26. We're cruising forward 8 days now, a whole week, to the next Sunday evening. And verse 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. You remember what Thomas had said. When Thomas heard the reports of the other disciples, he said, I will not believe. He said, that cannot be. I cannot believe that. And he said, I will not believe unless I can put my hands in those fingerprints. Unless I can touch him and handle him, I will not believe. That's what he said in verse 25 above, middle of the verse. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the prints of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. Thomas remembered how Jesus had been pierced on the cross and blood and water poured from his body. And Thomas says, unless I can put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And here, 1 week later, after the first resurrection day, the disciples gathered together, Thomas with them this time, and Jesus invites Thomas to have faith. He says, Thomas, reach hither thy finger, verse 27. Behold my hands, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Notice what Jesus says. Would you read it with me? And be not faithless, but believing. Be not faithless. You know, that is instruction for us in this world, in this life. In 2022, are you going to journey through this life faithless? Where is your faith? Are you going to trust God with your life? Are you going to trust Him with your finances? Are you going to trust Him with your health? Are you going to trust Him with the steps, the decisions of your life? We need to trust God. It's an active dependence upon God. I see, obviously, first of all, we must trust Him for salvation. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Jesus says to Thomas, be not faithless, but believing. And notice what Thomas replied. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. My Lord means my master, the one I'm accountable to, the one who can tell me what to do. You are my Lord. He also said, you're my God, deity. You are my God. Thomas believed. Notice verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You see, God wants us to have faith. What could we draw from the risen Christ here? In some of his first words, he is telling us to have faith, to continue in faith, faith in God, faith in the Scriptures. Remember how he opened the Scriptures to them. He said, all things must be fulfilled which are written in the Scriptures, those things which are not yet fulfilled. The day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night, those things are still to come. Jesus will come again, like he said. Are we really living in the faith? Are we getting up each day and thinking about the Lord and thinking, what is God doing in my life today? I'm going to trust him with this day. We need to continue in faith. Those early disciples in the beginning there struggled to grasp the reality of the resurrection. Jesus encouraged Thomas here to be not faithless. The whole Gospel of John encourages us that we might have faith. Look at, we've read up to verse 29 or through verse 29. Look at verse 30. John 20 and verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus. John reports, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. life through his name. Do you have this life? This life. Maybe someone's tuning online. Friend, do you have this life? Have you believed on Jesus for salvation, to save your soul from sin? Jesus is still saving souls. Believe on him today. This life is available for those who will believe. I also want to encourage you who have believed on the Lord for salvation that there is more God wants to give us through faith. As we trust God with each day, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We have a God who calls us to trust him. And so we must trust him for salvation, and we must trust him with each day. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you growing in the scriptures? Jesus loved the scriptures. He loved the Psalms. He loved the prophets. He loved the books of Moses. Yes. Do you believe the scriptures? Do you believe the account in Genesis of the creation story? It's true. It's not fictitious. It's how it really happened. We could go to the farthest planet away and find some intricate little thing that could shed light, perhaps. But you know what? The only light that could shed is more of the glory and splendor of our Creator, who made things in 6 days. Our God. And so, do you believe the scriptures? You know, as a follower of Jesus, what defines you? What defines your life? Is it that you are a follower of Jesus? You know, what defines you? Is it that you are have this kind of degree or this kind of occupation, that you're the janitor, the nurse, the mechanic, the wife, whatever the case may be? Is that what defines you? Or I'll tell you what will define you: are the things you really believe. The things you really believe will define your life. Because it's not, well, I'm a nurse. No, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian that happens to be a nurse, you know, in the will of God. I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. The things you really believe in will define your life. Some people pour their lives into family. While family has a very important place, it does not trump being a Christian. But it defines how your family life will be. Some people pour their lives into their family, and they pour their lives into their family such that they don't have time for church, right? They're not a Christian first. They're not a follower of Jesus first. Other things have taken priority. What you really believe will define your life. Jesus, the risen Savior, tells us to continue in the faith, to believe on Jesus as our Savior, and to trust his word. What defines you? Is it that you are a follower of Jesus every day? Secondly, I want you to know what Jesus said here. We'll go back to Luke. We'll look at a few verses here in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus wants us to continue in the faith, but also, Luke 24, verse 46, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Would you read verse 47? Why did Jesus suffer? And why did he rise from the dead the third day? Verse 47. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jesus was not racist. He says all nations. I want the message of hope, the message of the gospel, to go to all nations, to everyone, none excluded. no skin color, no ethnicity, no far-off region excluded. Jesus gave his life for all. That's why he commands us in the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every person. And so Jesus calls us to be witnesses. Notice verse 48. Verse 48, and ye are witnesses of these things. You know what a witness does? A witness is to share what they know, share what they saw. The disciples saw Jesus suffer and die. They saw the miracles. They saw his resurrection. But my friend, you and I also have a witness. A witness responsibility to testify of what we know. If you know Jesus as your Savior, I'll tell you what, there are people that we rub shoulders with every day that do not have the hope that you have. They don't. There are people who are even religious who do not know the Savior personally. Being merely religious is not the answer. Knowing Jesus is critical. And so what does your life give testimony of? Jesus wants us to continue in faith, trusting him, believing his word. Secondly, he wants us to continue as a witness. What is your life giving witness of? Does your life give witness that you're all about fun and pleasure? That's what's really cool. I mean, just giving your life, boy, if you could just take a few days off. Fun and pleasure, is that what your life gives witness of? Or my life? What does your life give witness of? That Jesus is important? Does your life in the workplace say, hey, listen, I obey the Lord. I'm following the Lord. Jesus is my master and my God, like Thomas said. You know what? That will change how you work. That will change how you do business. That will change the things you talk about. That'll change how you care for difficult people. You will love them. You will reach out to them. What is your life giving testimony of? Someone wrote this poem, a lady by the name of Annie Flint. She said this: Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. Now, I'll read more of the verses. There's two more verses to this poem. It's not that God is weak and he can't do it any other way. But he has particularly chosen to use you and me to be his witnesses in this world. So yes, God, it's not that God doesn't have any other hands but your hands or my hands, but he has chosen to work through us. That is his desire, is to use you. So I continue with the poem here. We are the only Bible this careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the type be crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with work other than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things his lips would spurn? How can we hope to help him and hasten his return? Oh, yes. You are the world's Bible. People read your life, mine as well. May God help us to continue in the faith, to continue as a witness, and thirdly and lastly, to continue with God's help. To continue with God's help. Back over to Luke 24, look at verse 49. After Jesus just finishes saying that he wants the gospel to go into all the world, to every nation, that's why he died. He didn't die just for you. Yes, he did die for you, but he didn't die just for you. He died for your neighbor too. He died for your coworker as well. He died for your enemy. To the one who wronged you, he died for them as well. He died. And so he says, ye are witnesses. God wants us to be witnesses. Now verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What was that? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Yes, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Wait, he told these disciples, wait in Jerusalem until ye be endowed or imparted, clothed in the power from on high. You wait for the power to live the Christian life. Now that power came on the day of Pentecost, the Bible records. The disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost. The power came. God gave his help, his aid. God has never intended you or I to live the Christian life in our own strength. He never intended you to try to live a life for Jesus without God's help. God is ready and willing to help you and to help me. He helps us by giving us the Holy Spirit when we trust Him as our Savior. He helps us as we yield to the Holy Spirit each day. When I yield to the Holy Spirit, I have God's help to do His will. When I'm stubborn, when I'm neglectful to yield to God, I don't have His help. I lack, and I end up sinning. You see, God gave the help we need as we yield ourselves to Him. So continue with God's help. Are you living daily in the help of the Lord? He is ready and willing to give all the grace as you humble yourself before Him. That's why it's so important for us to not neglect prayer daily. Prayer is essential for the Christian. That's why it's important for us to not marginalize the Word of God, but to make it a priority in our daily life. Matthew 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's why it's important that we should not skip the Lord's house, the assembly of God's people, right? Because God gives His help through prayer, through the Word, through church, and through His Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit of God, seeking God in prayer each day, giving attention to His Word, and making God's house, God's people, the assembly of the saints, a priority. Let's continue in light of the risen Christ.